I want to talk about, we sang about his power tonight and his manifestation. And I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Can we do that? And I think it'll help. You know, if you've had an experience with the presence of God, you can feel like that's the way it needs to be all the time. And God is really, Holy Spirit actually is very adaptable. He works in so many different ways. So we're just going to look at some of this. And we're definitely not going to try to put anything in a box with what we're going to look at either. But I want to look here, and we'll just put this up here initially here too. The gifts, and there's going to be a God-initiated gift, and then there's a faith-initiated. So there's two ways that God actually, we experience his manifested power in our lives, and part of it is and we're going to see how we can affect this. This is kind of what we're going to be going towards. How can we affect God's initiated manifestations? Because that's a lot of times what you see in where there's like a move or something. It's, well, God's just moving, you know, but it didn't just happen. There was something that made that possible. There was an atmosphere that made that possible. And you don't have to wait around for that either, because there's another side that we've been given. Jesus came and won all kinds of victories for us so that we can acquire a manifestation of God's power by faith. And so there's a faith-initiated manifestation, and then there's a God-initiated one. Sometimes God's going to do something that we don't have anything to do with it. I mean, as far as initiating it, he's just going to do it. He's an amazing God. He can do what he wants to do. Amen. So let's look at an example here, first of all. And there's several of these in the New Testament, especially with Jesus. Jesus went around healing people, and there were some places he couldn't. And that's kind of what we're going to see too. There was a place where he could not do that. It's because the people in general were not receptive. And so they had something to do with that, creating that atmosphere for a God-initiated manifestation. But in the examples, whenever Jesus would heal somebody, many times their faith had nothing to do with it. He just healed them, right? And we're going to see an example. This is an example of itself. But then there were the times when he would say, "Your faith has made you whole." They were both manifestations of God's power. But one of them, they didn't even have a clue. This first one, let's look at this example. Acts 3:6-8. Then Peter said, remember, this is at the Gate Beautiful. And they're going to a prayer time. So they're all pumped up already anyway. They're ready to pray. But they come to this man, and he's expecting money. He doesn't have faith for healing at all, does he? He's expecting some money. And he said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." This is actually just as a demonstration of this. This wasn't something that Peter generated on his own. This is an example of a Spirit-inspired manifestation of the power of God. He didn't just say, "Okay, I'm going to do this now. I feel like it." No, the Spirit inspired him to say this. This was a God-initiated thing for this man. And he said, "Such as I have, I give you." Now, it was very important. He had something to give. He wasn't just saying, "I heard about this somewhere. I think it might work here. I'll give it a go." No, he said, I have something. I am so full of this. And now the Spirit is inspiring me, so I'm gonna. And this man didn't even see it coming, did he? And we're going to come back to this a little bit later on. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, something that is used there is in the name. So a lot of times these different gifts will work together, but he's actually using the name of Jesus in addition to this gift of the Spirit that's bringing a miracle in this man's life. But it's totally God initiated. It's supernatural. It's not something that was, it wasn't Peter doing it. It wasn't Peter's something that he can say, I'll just pull this out of my pocket and do it at any time. It was a God-initiated thing, right? Good. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, he's on the God side now, but he had no clue it was coming. It was not his faith. It wasn't any revelation that he had. He was just, this was a God supernatural thing, right? Yeah. Now, these kind of stories are very wonderful to speak on, and this is why it's important to, I think, for us to be able to talk about this from time to time, because we need to develop an appetite for this kind of manifestation of God's presence, because we have something to do with it. We have something to do with whether it's going to be experienced, and this will be good. Now I would love to see this, and we're going to get to this later, but it's very important what our motive is. Even desiring this, do I desire it so that I can see God, or what's actually taking place? What happened? What was the biggest thing that happened in this miracle right here? A man had never walked before in his life, and now he's walking and leaping and praising God. Now, sometimes we can focus on the miracle itself, but what about the man? I think that's God's heart. What about the person? What about the one that's getting the benefit of this manifestation, right? Okay, and then this example again, one of the favorite ones is, remember the lady that had the issue of blood. And what happened for her, she had some big time faith, didn't she? She heard some things. And what that did is it created faith in her heart. She said, if I can just touch. Was it Jesus initiated at all? No. Other than he's walking down the street, right? He says, it's your faith. He turns around. When he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. How did this happen? Your faith, right, has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. So I'm just wanting to point out here that there's two different sides of this. We're going to be talking about supernatural, God-initiated things that we need to, you know, there's really not a whole lot of scripture that talks about these things. There's some examples, but not a whole lot of to draw from as far as teaching to draw from on this. So we'll get to 1 Corinthians 12 here, and we'll look at some of these gifts of the Spirit. But I want us to see the purpose for these even before getting into them. Why do we want the gifts of the Spirit? Why do we want to be Spirit-filled? Why do we want these things? And the motive becomes a very critical thing. Let's look at Mark 9:23. So we see that it's part of the reason why it's so important to go back and look at a faith side of a manifestation is that a lot of religions believe that it's all just God initiated, random, whether he feels like it on a random day or not, whether he got up on the right side of the bed today or not. You know what, not to be too sacrilegious, but if God's gonna heal you, he's gonna heal you. If not, he's not. And it's all supernatural. And if you happen to be the one that was involved, you get to be a saint. I'm sorry, that wasn't very nice. All right. But there's a side of just believing that Mark 9:23 talks about, that, I mean, this is where we live. This is where we should be living. Yeah. We shouldn't have to be waiting on a supernatural. I mean, it'll all be supernatural, but on a gift necessarily. We should be able to be standing and living by faith upon what Christ has already accomplished for us. Is that right? So what is the purpose of the gifts then? It's for those who are in need of something beyond their own faith. Is that right? Okay. So Mark 9:23 says this, though. He says, If you can believe, all things are possible. That means anything is possible if you can just believe, right? Now, who believes though? You have to know something, don't you? You have to get some information. Faith comes by hearing. You're going to have to do something once it gets there, but you're going to have to get some information. The lady with the issue of blood, she believed, but because it was because of something that she heard. So there was a foundation built for her to be able to believe for something. But I just want to point out, though, that Jesus said, you don't have to wait for anybody else to show up. You can believe for something. Amen? Now, there's more parts to just believing that I think that are so critical. It's actually not just coming up with something that you want on your own, but you're living in a realm with the master to where your wants get in line with the things that he's going to provide. And then when you go to believe, it's not something that's going to be out of line with his will. I think a lot of times you can say, well, I was believing for this, and it's something that God, to be ridiculous with it, I'm believing for somebody else's wife. You know, it's like, no, that's not going to happen. You know, and that's ridiculous, but people can believe for something else that it's like, maybe that wasn't God's will for you, and you're just trying to get God on board so you can get your deal, you know. So to really believe, though, it's going to be something from the heart where you're actually living in relationship with him that enables a heart that's not compromised at all in its belief. Does that make sense? So let's go ahead and get into these gifts here, because I think it's we're going to talk about some of the manifestations of supernatural. And most of these things are going to be coming in the form of verbal speaking. It's going to be speaking in some form. And so to be operating in the gifts, then it's going to be something where you're actually filled with the Spirit. What happened all through the New Testament? Anytime somebody was filled with the Spirit, what did it say? And they knew they were because of what was coming out of their mouth. Is that right? And for there to be something that is actually Spirit inspired, beyond that, there needs to be a filling of the Spirit. So anyway, let's get into this, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. How many like to be ignorant? You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now that, so he's basically saying, before you got saved, you were actually being led by spirits. You were being led to give yourself to these other idols. Now, we don't have like idols like they do some parts of the world here, but we really have some idols. And what, you know, something I've been talking to Braden about is, you know, that there's movies that and there's music, that it's not just something that you can behold. There's a spirit involved that's motivated, that's inspired this thing. And if people become very devoted to characters and different things like that, and they become actually idols. American Idol. But you know, those kinds of things, right? And he's saying, this is what happened. You're used to doing this already, to being driven by a spirit, because you were doing it in the world, right? Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. He said, so now there's going to be obvious indications that now once you're born again, you're not going to be able to be moved by the Spirit and say something that's completely contrary from it. Right? And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we were singing this. And anybody can say that, but to really say it from your heart, it's going to have to be something that's by the Spirit. There's a Spirit-inspired utterance that isn't just a declaration. Remember, there was a possessed lady that was following Paul around, declaring things that were true, and yet it was very disruptive because the motive behind it was a spirit that was not of God, right? There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. So he's going to say, so when there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God, it's always going to be from one source. It's not going to be a conflicting source anywhere else. It's always going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to, and there's going to be an overriding, we're going to see this, there's going to be an overriding purpose in the gift being manifested. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And here's the critical thing. It's never for the person that it's operating through. It's for the profit of the church. And here's where the motive becomes very critical. Is I don't want to be the one that's noticed. I want the one that's getting the benefit from it to be blessed. Amen? So it's for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And that plural of the gifts is important there, we'll get to. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So who decides who this is? How it's going to happen? Now, sometimes we can say, well, I have this gift. And really, anytime there's a manifestation of a supernatural gift, it wasn't your choosing in the first place. Or it wasn't because you're qualified in a certain place. Now, there's some people that might be used more frequently, but anytime there's a gift of the Spirit, it's initiated by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that comes from you. It's not a gift that you get to just use now. God's given it to you, and now you get to use it however you want to use it. It's still his gift to the body, and it's used when he initiates it. Does that make sense? So let's look at these. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. So the purpose of these, and we'll look at them more closely here in just a second, but I want to look at the overall purpose of this, of the Spirit, is to edify the church. So this is the 12th chapter, right? And what happens right after the 12th chapter? It says, there's all these gifts, but if you don't have love, they're nothing, right? Okay, and what does love do? Love makes it all about the person that's getting blessed by it. Amen? So let's look at the 14th. So this is right after the 13th, right, talking about love. It says, pursue love. And here's something that is very critical in here, is desire spiritual gifts. How many of y'all sit around desiring spiritual gifts very often? Sometimes, you know, we don't even think about it, do we? It's like, well, why do I need a spiritual gift? I got it made. God's blessing me. I've got all my needs met according to his riches and glory. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm taken care of. So what would make you even care about spiritual gifts or desire spiritual gifts when you start getting the heart of God that somebody needs what you have? Does that make sense? And so the motive begins to be a God thing, a passion. If I'm not ready like Peter, what would have happened if Peter would have just showed up and said, well, I got 10 cents here, this is all I got. He was so full of what he had that he had something to give. What if he didn't have anything to give? He desired these gifts, and he was able to give because he did. Amen? It says, but especially that you may prophesy. Now we're going to look at what this prophecy is that he's talking about. And this prophecy is what actually comes from the love motive, because what this prophecy is talking about is not being able to say what's going to happen in the future necessarily. It's actually encouraging people. It's always about lifting people up. It's about making sure that what's coming out of your mouth is going to be something that edifies and builds people up, right? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Said, it's good. It's good to speak in an unknown tongue to yourself. Because he's been talking about, you know, well, I won't go back through the 13th chapter altogether, but he's talking about the things. These things are going to pass away on their own. But what is their purpose? He says, it's good to have this gift that's to you, but the real purpose is for it to go through you. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So he says, what you do when you're desiring these spiritual gifts is you're caring about somebody. For you to even desire those, you have to care about edifying, exhorting, and comforting somebody. If you don't care about that, you're not going to desire the gift for the right reason. Does that make sense? And you're not going to be able to actually manifest it because it's not a God-motivated thing. There has to be a desire, and we'll get to this, there has to be a desire to edify and to exhort. This needs to be a motive that we have even coming together as a body. When I come on Sunday, somebody's going to get edified because I'm there. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to get an exhortation if it's just, you look good today. Did you know that's prophecy? Amen? Yeah. And actually, if you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to say the right thing for that person for that time. And it might not sound spiritual at all. But it will be something that's God-inspired for them at that moment. Amen? He says it'll comfort people. It'll encourage them. And all the gifts have that power to be able to do that to some extent. And that's their real purpose. So he says, when you're desiring these gifts, make sure that the main reason, that your motive for doing this is to exhort somebody, to lift them up. What happens in somebody's life when they get healed? Does that exhort them? Does that build them up? Does that encourage them? They leave believing in God more than ever, right? So all these gifts, they work together because they're coming from the same Spirit. Does that make sense? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, remember what Paul said. He said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than anybody. And why would he say that? Because that's going to Jude, he says, that's how you build yourself up on your most holy faith. So that when you do encounter that person on the street, you say, from what I have, from what I've been building up on the inside, from what I've, now what's coming out of my mouth is going to be inspired, just like I've been inspired encouraging myself. Does that make sense? We're actually supposed to build our, supposed to sing and make a melody to your heart unto the Lord in another language, right? In a song. Yeah. Amen? And what are you doing? You're filling up the tank for a purpose. So this puts a priority on building yourself up also. See, it's not just about the gift that's going to manifest at some time and deciding whether it's going to be me that's going to do it. It's saying, God, I'm going to be available for whatever you have. Whether or not you use me at all, I'm going to be ready. But I'm asking you to help me to care about exhorting, lifting people up, building them up, because I want my motive to be right. And I see that as the atmosphere that you're going to be able to operate in. Amen? Remember what... I was thinking about Jesus in this regard. Remember several times it says, and moved with compassion, right? What drove Jesus? In fact, he would say, don't tell anybody about this. Don't make it about me. But I can't help but give you what you need. Amen? So, let me see. I thought I had... Huh. Boy, I didn't get that in there. Well, let me, so there's three different categories of these. And there's the revelation, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. I thought I had this in my notes and they're not there. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. You can help me with this as we're going along. All right. So what the word of wisdom is, it has something to do with the future about what God's going to do. And it's something that's going to be spoken out. And the word of knowledge has something to do, it's declaring what things already are. It's revealing what already is. And then the discerning of spirits isn't just seeing evil spirits, it's seeing all kinds of spirits, being able to see if it's the Spirit of God or not. But having it is a supernatural manifestation of God that's given you this revelation of how things are in the Spirit. And it's a gift. You might not have, you don't just go around seeing everything. But it will be there when you need it. It's something that comes by God at the moment of need. Now, a word of wisdom might be something particular that needs to be done in a way that only God can inspire for it to be done. So this is how it needs to happen. And it come by the Spirit. Then there's the power gifts, and that's the gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, gifts of healing, and the gift of miracles. So what these things, the gift of faith is different than being able to take scripture. It's like it wasn't a gift of faith that healed the woman with the issue of blood. It was a faith that came because of revelation that she got. Actually combined for Peter was a gift of faith with that man at the gate, because there was an ability to believe that this was going to happen at this moment. It was a God-inspired gift of faith at that moment. And it's not something that you can just do at any time. But it's actually something that, now you can, again, you can go to the Word and say, no, the Word says this, so I'm going to believe this. But there's a gift of faith also that only comes by the Spirit.
Yes.
And then, what was the second one there? Healings. So it's interesting that some people actually manifest different types of healings. In greater measure. It might have something to do with their faith or what they're already believing, but there's some people that will manifest a gift of healing in a greater measure, like having to do with blindness or deaf or some other thing. But you see this manifested when somebody will call out something, they'll see something in the Spirit, and they'll be able to have a gift of healing for that particular thing. And it's not something that they can just generate on their own. It's going to be something that comes by the Spirit of God. Amen. Gifts of miracles are things that are have to be generated. They're not. Healing is something where there's something there that's been corrupted and it will be repaired and mended. A miracle is kind of like that man laying there with his legs are all... It's a creative thing. They're not quite as common, but it's going to be something that's by the Spirit too. And there are things that we should desire. And what for what reason? So that somebody can be helped, exhorted, lifted up, encouraged in their faith. Yeah. Amen? Amen. And then the last group is, the inspiration gifts. And that's prophecy, tongues, and then interpretation of tongues. And you would think that those are kind of going along with revelation gifts because they are revealing things that are coming. But they're inspired by God. They're things that you don't even really, it's like when you speak out in an unknown tongue in a service, it's something that's just totally inspired by God. You don't even know what you're saying necessarily at the moment. It's not a pre-thought thing at all. It's just coming by the Spirit. And then the interpretation needs to come for it to be effective. And it's going to be a God thing. It's going to have that overall purpose of exhorting people and lifting them up. Now, the prophecy side of this that it's talking about as a gift of prophecy, it's not necessarily to say how things are or to declare how things are going to be. The prophecy that he's talking about here, according to the 14th chapter, is that it's meant to exhort and to build up. That's why you can actually prophesy in a song to yourself. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. It's going to be something that's godly, inspired. So let's go to how these gifts are developed and manifested, because this is really what I want to get to. These are the things that we should be desiring as a body. Why? Because this is the Spirit. This is the heart of God. This is a God thing, a manifestation, a supernatural, something that goes beyond natural altogether, that is the heart of God. God wants to touch people. He wants to, and this is why, man, I've been inspired. How can we be getting into touching the world? Actually, this is part of my heart on Sunday, talking about the touch. How can we be, what are we doing when we're doing that? There's an opportunity to be operating in these gifts. And you have to know what they are to some extent. And again, there's not a whole lot to go on from these scriptures here, but you see the heart of God in it. And this is where we get it. You know, we start following after the heart of God and we're going to be led to the manifestation of God. And that's what we can do with confidence and with joy. Amen? So how are these gifts developed and manifested? Okay. Because I've grown up in a Spirit-filled environment before, my whole life has been in that. And I've seen the gifts corrupted. I've seen them, people use them for their own benefit, their own ministry promotion, their own, and it becomes something that's not very effective for God. If you make way for something, there's actually familiar spirits that can come in and provide something that will impress you on their own. So how do you do it in a way that's going to be the heart of God, and you're going to get the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's going to be legitimate, and you can have great confidence in it, and you can start to say, God, lead me in this. I want to be open to what you're, I don't want to just sing songs about what you can do. I want to live it. Amen? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I just love so much that we've been given access to the very holy of holies by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And there's so much that we access in that place. The motive, the heart, the passion of God is what needs to be the drive for anything that's going to come, bring this to pass. Amen? Now, sometimes there's circumstances, you know, that are very troublesome, that can push people into this. So when you have parts of the world where there's a lot of persecution, there's a lot of people are driven to a place of desperation for the presence of God. And that's what was happening in the New Testament. There was such a desperation for the presence of God. They were pursuing him so strongly and leaning upon the gifts of the Spirit continually. But he's talking in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he's talking about how that we no longer have something that should be separating us from beholding his glory. It's the beholding of his glory that changes who we are. What we need is not to try to work on releasing some kind of gifting as much as beholding the one who will do the gifting. It needs to be about him. And however he wants to manifest, you know, we've kind of gone through this quickly, but he wants to manifest these things for a purpose and a reason. And I don't want to put any of these things in a box at all and say, God, you want to move however you want in somebody's life, speak to them, reveal things to them. But how's it going to be? How am I going to be the vessel for that to take place? How is my heart going to develop in this? How am I going to be moving towards this? And the first, it has to be beholding his glory ourselves. Amen? Because how do we change? How do we take on his identity, his nature? How do we, you know, there's a passage, I didn't put it in here. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't think too much of himself, who became a servant. These things need to be, the heart needs to be a servant passion rather than to be a use me passion. You know what I mean? It's like, God, I want somebody to be blessed, and so I want to serve them by becoming so full of who you are in me. And I can only do that by beholding you. Amen? Not beholding some other person and trying to be like somebody else. So all of us who have that veil removed, how many have had the veil removed? Isn't that great? But it doesn't do any good to have the veil removed if you don't do a lot of looking, you know? Need to do a lot of looking. Can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, okay, who is the Spirit motivating all the gifts, driving all the gifts? It says the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. Amen? Makes us more and more like him. So if we're going to be operating in a gift of the Spirit, we need to be more like him. Yeah. Amen? And it's the initial key to getting there. Now, what happens? What did he say? Desire. Paul said, desire these gifts, right? Desire these things that are going to be manifestations of the supernatural. Well, how do you get your desire going? First of all, you begin to behold him and find out that this is his heart. This is his passion. This is what he likes. And it becomes yours as well. Amen? We are changed into his glorious image. What is his image? It's somebody that loves us so much that he laid down his life for us and imparted all his power into our lives so that we can live victoriously in every way. Amen? And that becomes our passion. We have that same mind in us that was in Christ, that we want to serve him in this. Matthew 23:11. For he who is greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. This doesn't look like we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but I believe it's what has to happen before you get into that at all. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 comes between 12 and 14, right? Because we have to have the heart of love and let that be what drives us. But then become aware that there's something to do with this heart of love that's not just receive something from God, but impart something from God. That everything that God wants to do in a gift of the Spirit is manifest his love in somebody's life. Amen? It's going to look like healing. It's going to look like revelation. It's going to look like comfort. Amen? And I'm going to give my life to making sure that I'm full of the Spirit so that the Spirit can be what comes out. I'm going to be beholding him. I'm going to be speaking out what he's already given me to speak. I'm going to be building myself up in that most holy faith. Amen? And that desire. So first of all, there has to be the beholding of him. Then the building up of that desire that goes along with him. It's like, how many are hungry right now? Stephen's hungry. If we could start talking about Larry's fixins, everybody would be hungry in no time at all. Because what happens when you start talking about stuff? And that's why it's so important for us to be able to talk about these things. That's why I love some of those songs. Some of those songs Brandon Lake has written, it's like they're talking about the power of God. It's like, man, when you hear that, you start salivating for the power of God. Amen? There has to be a desire. But again, coming from a desire for God to be poured out in his power in a life that needs him. Not for me just to say, wow, that was cool. Amen? For the motive to be God's motive. It's a motive that I got in his presence, beholding his face. Amen? And then this last one I just want to look at quick here is prayer. Then we get into prayer for this. And how do we pray for this? And this is, so remember Peter at the gate, beautiful, and the guy jumps up and starts running around. You think everybody would be celebrating, the whole town would be celebrating. But no, they put him into jail as a result of it, right? It's because everybody isn't going to agree that the gifts of the Spirit are what we want. You know, you're going to get some opposition. So let's go to the 24th verse here though, because when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together to pray to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago. Now, what did they do? They have something they're going to get to with God, but here, what are they doing? First of all, they're beholding him, aren't they? They're beholding how great he is. It's so important in prayer when we're going into desiring the things of God to be manifest is to behold him for who he is, for what he's already done. Amen? And that's what they do. They say, oh, sovereign Lord, creator of the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why are the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with future plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. Said, everything that's happened here, God, we just recognize that it's part of your plan. Amen? Instead of being impressed by what Satan's doing, they say, God, what you're doing is beyond everything else that's going on. And now, Lord, hear their threats. And give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Said, we desire, because we know that when we go ahead and preach your word, it's going to create an atmosphere. Why did they, and there's so many examples of it, but they would preach for hours. You know, sometimes y'all think I'm long-winded. Paul would preach all night long. And people would fall off the windowsill and die. Right? Why? And Jesus, you know what it said about Jesus too? I mean, it said he was healing people. But what did he do all the time? He taught. He taught. Why? Because what it did is it created this atmosphere that was opposite of his hometown's atmosphere. One that created a reception of the manifestation of God's power. The declaration of God's word with boldness, not compromising, declaring what God said with boldness. What it did is it created an atmosphere, not for just faith, but actually for supernatural manifestations, because it creates a desire. Now, the desire we were looking at there, he wasn't just saying desire it personally. And this is why we have to talk about it as a church. It's got to be a community desire. It's got to be a body desire. It has to be our MO. This is what we're about, desiring. Desiring the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Right. Amen? Yes. Desiring it so much that we're willing to participate in it. To actually say something, to respond. Amen? And now, Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out. Isn't this cool now? They're going to be the ones that are operating in this, but they say, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they preached God's word with boldness. And there were manifestations that followed after that. Amen? So what? We behold his glory. Amen? We get inspired by the stories from the word of the manifestations of the Spirit of God, the supernatural. But we begin to desire them with a desire, with a heart of love for people. We begin to see people differently. We begin to be moved by compassion. We have the same heart of God. That, God, what you've given me, what I'm full of by your Spirit, now you've given me that, so now that I can serve. So that now I can be ministered to somebody. And I take on that spirit of prophecy that I want to be exhorting. I want to be lifting up. I want to be encouraging people. And however you want to say that through me, I desire it. Amen? Now, I just want to speak this by faith for this body, for myself, and say, God, if I want you, I have to want this. Because this is by your Spirit. This is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, that lifted me up out of the grave. It's that same Spirit that wants to minister life to somebody else. Amen? And he's given each one of us, he will give. And we can be ready to receive any one of these gifts at any time for a specific need at a specific time. Amen? And so we can be ready for this. I love this. Brother Hagin says, I've been used in all these different ones. They're not things I do all the time, but I'm ready for any one of them. Amen? They're not mine. They're not my identity. I'm the vessel that God's ready to use. Now, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal through mine whenever you need to. Amen?